6 minutes after five on this Monday afternoon, I'm delighted that a gentleman I was going to talk to by phone has made it to the radio station because whenever we chat, we talk about a topic that really lights up the phones, and we want to invite you, if you are a dog owner or if you are not a dog owner, to join the conversation we're about to have with long-time dog trainer John Wade. I love the email he sent me earlier today about this issue. A message from a little picture of a dog from John Wade. So he's a guy who loves dogs and wants people to treat them well. But we have a controversy, which he tells me is leading to a horror show when it comes to the way dogs are treated across North America. Started in Toronto, John Wade is here to explain it all. John, I appreciate you joining us in studio.
My pleasure.
You just made a very interesting comparison of the way we treat our dogs to the way parents raise kids, and you had a profound observation. I wonder if you could share that.
Well, there's been a movement over the last 20 years into the belief that allegedly is scientifically supported, which I've never been able to find any science to support it, that the only humane way now to interact with dogs is to be all positive all the time. No species on the planet has ever successfully raised a youngster. If our own parents did that, we'd be dead or in jail. It's very difficult to raise anybody without providing them the warm and cold messages. The assumption is if you're not all positive, you must be resorting to abusive techniques.
Okay, I want to just explore, because there are some of our listeners who are not dog owners, but they're keying into your argument about how we raise our kids. My dad was old school, and you know what? We were somewhat old school. Andy, did you spank your kids? Is that what you're going to try to say? Can you be all positive all the time in raising children?
I have never spanked my children, yet they did have consequences. And there are trainers who think they're all positive that are providing consequences. It's better marketing to say not. But I would challenge anyone who believes that you can teach using all positive all the time by simply using treats or whatever to change a diaper or put a child in a car seat or in a snowsuit when they're cranky. Sometimes you're just putting the leg in there, and that's that.
So you would include in the negative that's necessary to raise a child, raising your voice,
very
pointing your finger, using some might call it threatening language, but negativity in raising a child properly, it can't be all candies and flowers.
Right, but sometimes these conversations get too focused on the concept of the negativity. There's no parent on the planet who has not had to say, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. But that's not this is one of the reasons I don't like the whole might is right approach to dog training as well. Yes, maybe mother dogs get a little forceful, but they don't do it anywhere near as often as some dog trainers are doing on a dog. There's a balance. Yeah, and when you have a child, you're building a relationship from the beginning, and that's missing in dog training, so they go to treats or force. But with a child, you're saying, did you brush your teeth? Let me smell them. Did you wash your hands? Good job. Did you get your homework done? And all day, you're building the concept of who's the teacher, who's the student. Dog trainers are trying to replace that with either force, you're going to listen to me, or now, here's a treat, or it's got to be all positive all the time. And, you know, a byproduct of that is I'm seeing way more anxiety in dogs.
Okay. Now, people may think this is just a discussion that we dreamed up so we'd have something to talk about. What we have is a decision by Toronto City Council, which you say could spread across North America, which is leading, could lead to a horror show. What do you mean by that? First of all, what's the decision they made?
The decision that was made was not the one that was proposed. The original decision was that dogs wearing prong collars or slip collars should not be wearing that equipment if they're going to be tied up alone. And they approached Toronto Animal Services, their experts, and asked them, what did they think? They were told, that's an excellent idea. People shouldn't do that. If they don't have the common sense to realize that, we'll put it in the bylaw. The person who approached them went back and said, they gave us permission to ban these pieces of equipment right across the board. Now, those pieces of equipment are used by CNIB. They're used by police departments. They're used. Every grooming table in North America has a slip collar version on it. Every animal, their own animal control, uses slip collars to get dogs from being at large to their vehicles. They use snappy snares and they use catch poles. By the way that bylaw is worded, they banned tons of tools. What they've essentially done is focused on banning the tool and not banning the fool.
As you said, it's not the tool that's the problem, it's the tool at the end of the tool.
It always is. I have seen each piece of equipment that exists used in an abusive manner, where dogs have been harmed. There's no doubt that that can happen. But in almost every, I guess I'd have to say every case I've ever seen, it's been somebody who's a little twisted on the end of the leash doing that sort of thing, or it was a sheer freak accident. But now you will have people who simply cannot, like those pieces of equipment are used for two reasons. And one is, you know, if you can't be caught, you can't be taught. And if a dog thinks it's stronger, it doesn't listen any longer. It's very difficult for some people who are 110 pounds to control a dog that is their weight or greater. So having an emergency brake on the dog doesn't hurt.
Okay, you're talking about the CNIB. Give me an example of the tools that they're using now, which could be outlawed.
Well, I just worked with one of their with somebody who has one of their dogs. They use a chain choker. And he's provided the sort of corrections that I'm not even, I wouldn't necessarily suggest are the best way to go, but in the way that they're taught, conveying to the dog, hey, that's a big no-no. Someone's life is at stake here. They've deemed that acceptable. Now, I don't think they use prong collars. And prong collars themselves look quite, they look vicious is what they look like. But appearances can be deceiving. But I have seen people, I think far too many people use them that wouldn't need to use them. They don't have enough nuance to them for anything other than the break. But lots of trainers do use them. And I would never go to a trainer and say, I don't approve of that. You can't use that, because I know that they use them humanely.
Okay. I am sensing in here an animal rights agenda.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a bit of that. I've certainly seen there's an entire group of dog training now that embraces this concept of might is right. So part of it's animal rights, and part of it is an agenda that if we can ban this, we can dominate the training industry. And Toronto City Council didn't pick up on that they didn't counsel anybody who has my experience, whereas I could have said to them, you know, some of these tools I don't use, but here's how they are typically used. And the stories that, you know, that they got were very, very one-sided. So yes, it became animal rights. There's something going on in Florida now where they've got a bill of rights now for dogs. That is, if it goes through, it's unbelievable.
Well, we're living in a society where we have discussions about animal rights, and you know what? We all know what's happening to the circus. It's disappearing. We have Florine Morrison, a God lover, in this city, who says the ultimate extension of her argument is not just that chickens should have the freedom to walk, and now we've seen that McDonald's and a number of other corporations have bought into that, and farmers are having to rebuild their barns, building a whole new concept so that chickens don't have to be in cages. But the ultimate extension of that is that we don't use animals for medical research anymore. And in fact, Florine, at one point, and other animal rights activists say, you should not kill a fly.
Well, you know, one thing that I will give animal rights people credit for is, as extreme as they can be and as unreasonable as they can be, they do shine light on issues that need to be shone on occasionally.
I agree. It's just some of them go
exactly
way past the county line.
Yep. You've got like Pareto's principle, where you've got 20% of them doing 80% of the talking that are not so much lovers of animals, in my experience, as they are haters of people.
Okay. Just before we go to a break to check traffic and weather, if this Toronto example is extended across Ontario, across Canada, you say a horror show. What do you mean by a horror show? What would happen?
Well, here's kind of a ratio that I use. If your dog weighs 60 pounds, that dog in human terms is 180. He's got four-wheel drive, four on the floor, low center gravity. So if you think in an emergency situation that you can control a 180-pound person, then great. But if you can't, you need leverage. And that's where sometimes these tools come in handy. That's from a safety perspective. So that will keep the dog safer, squirrels safer, cats safer, people walking other dogs, people on a bicycle, if the person can control their dog. If they don't have that tool, what's going to happen.
But surely there'd be an exemption for the police. Surely there'd be an exemption for the CNIB.
There was an exemption for Toronto, and now there is one proposed for CNIB, and they'll have to do one for CKC dog. They'll have to do one for all animal control officers. They'll have to do one for the airport dogs. They'll have to do one for the OPP. There's no sense to this. Too many people are using this properly for them to jump to the conclusion that these are cruel.
You were just at an appointment this afternoon. You had some very interesting comments about that, basically saying you got bad advice from your veterinarian, correct?
Well, this is some veterinarians.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to check traffic and weather. We'll be back with that story in just a moment. If you want to join the conversation, feel free, 509-643-1290. We're in a conversation with dog trainer John Wade right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Absolutely fascinating talking to dog behaviorist, dog trainer John Wade about a horror story that he says is unfolding with respect to Toronto City Council making a decision to restrict the use of certain pieces of equipment on dogs. And just talking during the break about comparisons with what we're doing with children. So, John, why don't we pick up on it right there? What is it we're doing wrong, you think, with the way we're raising kids?
Well, I don't know, but I'm developing a theory because in my youth, there was never the degree of people suffering from anxiety that we're seeing now.
That's so true.
Now, and the number of on medication for it, too. So in the dog world, 20 years ago, I started 30 years ago. So in the first 10, I very rarely would run into a dog that was anxious on the basis of anything other than poor exposure during critical socialization. It's rampant now. And it started the same time as this all positive all the time. When we were kids, we were a little bit more free range. So you come home when the lamps go out on the street. And sometimes we were got into trouble, and sometimes, you know, he had bullies chasing his home, and we had to deal with life, and we developed coping skills as a result. I'm beginning to think that there's a period in our lives when we're designed, if we don't get exposed to that, we have more difficulty coping with stresses later in life.
Too many helicopter parents?
Well, I guess that's what it is, and, you know, I was one of them. Like, it's just the sort of thing that we were just trying to do more for our kids. I think that we're going to find out that a byproduct of that is that they're not developing the ability to exercise their suck it up muscles the same way. Because I've seen it evolve now with dogs where my work is split up 80% is with dogs with behavior problems. And I would say that's now about 50-50 aggression and anxiety. That shouldn't be. That there's something wrong and we need to look at it. And I highly suspect this whole all positive all the time, ignore bad behavior, reward good behavior. I was looking at a case study this dog trainer had where this puppy was jumping and biting at this lady, and they told me, well, they resolved it, and it took 30 days, and they told him to stand up, turn around. And the vets are telling people this now, too, because that's what they're being told. Ignore the behavior, but you can express your dissatisfaction by saying, ouch, ouch, you hurt me, that kind of thing. So I said, okay, well, how did it work out? And she says, 30 days later, it was over. Now, that's just a reflection of inexperience, because almost every puppy will outgrow that behavior within 30 days. My question was, if that puppy had done that to its mother, would they have waited 30 days to resolve that? No, that would have been over in 30 seconds, and she would not have put the puppy in therapy because of it either. The second problem would have been, what if that woman had two kids under the age of 5? That pup would have been back at the breeders or back in a rescue, because no one can suffer that type of, I've been to houses where the kids are all feet are tucked underneath the couch and trying to stay away from the dog, because we're not saying no. Not beating the dog, not scaring the dog, but conveying to the dog as an authority figure, a parent to a child. No, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
So it does boil down to the inability to say no. Let me just read a couple of text messages. Andy, he may be right. Just look at the everyone wins a trophy generation. Yep. They can't handle life.
Right. Yes. Yep.
Is that part of it?
Well, I suspect it is. But you know,
nobody loses. Nobody fails. Everybody gets a ribbon.
Right. Yeah.
And we're doing that with animals. All positive.
They see it all the time.
So, and you're saying now it's to the point where the Toronto City Council is banning certain tools that even the police and the CNIB use.
Right.
And this is spreading, this kind of thinking.
Yes. Yeah, because they're very good marketers. But holy smokes, I would say they've got hearts as big as houses, their intent is great, but their minds are as small as mouses. There is not science to support this. Not real science. There's not. They will tell us that if you use an aversive, a negative, whether it's a chastisement with your tone or your body language or physically disciplining a dog, not saying I agree with that, but what I'm saying, they'll say it'll make the behavior more likely to occur, and they think science supports that. I give them an opportunity to put their hand on a stove and see how willing they are to put their hand back on the stove. It doesn't make you want to do it again. Pain is the biggest motivator. It's just a crappy way to learn. So I believe we need to learn how to train dogs, not all positive all the time, but almost all positive all the time. And if you need to be told to suck it up, then have somebody with authority do that. Good Lord, Andy, when you and I went over to somebody's house when we were little kids and somebody said, would you like a cookie? We'd look at our mothers and go, would we like a cookie? And they'd tell us, no, it's too close to dinner. Sometimes you like the answer, sometimes you didn't. She doesn't care. She's got a household to run. And that's I call it nature's template. We need to follow that. Mother dogs haven't got this wrong. Why all of a sudden do we say a dog is the only species on the planet that needs to be treated in all positive way, or you're being inhumane? That's ludicrous. And then we extend it to, oh, you can't use this tool because it can only be used inhumanely. Not true.
Go back to the veterinary. You had a client today who got some bad advice from a vet.
So they go into the vets. They got a very hyper dog. And so the dog jumped up and they gave the dog an abrupt pull back. And the vet says, that's not done anymore. We don't do that anymore. And the training's come a long way. And then they put the dog on the table and shoved a thermometer up its butt, with no introduction, didn't buy a dinner. It was hey, look, I've got to get this done and I'm going to get it done. Put your foot in the snowsuit, kid. They're supposed to be based on science here. And I got to say, almost every veterinarian I know has got a lot more common sense than that. They understand how a clinic works. They've raised kids. They get it. But we're starting to see this permeate now into the clinics. And the end result was they were told, well, here's two trainers you can go to that use all positive. Not only did they find that that didn't work, they're not going back to the vet anymore because they raised kids. They didn't beat them, but they knew that they didn't go all positive all the time.
Okay. For those who have joined us midstream here, as so often happens, we have 2 or 3 minutes left. Just summarize, what is it Toronto City Council has done, and what is the horror show you're saying is now unfolding?
So they banned prong and slip collars without realizing that they banned all animal control equipment, grooming tables, and all kinds of things. And but they gave Toronto City Police Services an exemption. Now they're providing CNAB with exemption. Because of pressure from me and from other people in a group that I'm working with, that has been overturned, which we were told it couldn't be done. And now it's on hold till September, and they've agreed to actually consult with more shareholders rather than just special interest groups.
Here's a text message. Andy, this guy is bang on for kids and dogs. Society is afraid of discipline. It's ridiculous.
True. True. Boy, if I ever saw anybody harming a child physically, I would step in just as vigorously as I'm stepping in now. I'm not advocating. I'm not. And this all positive mandate is they try and twist this into, well, if you don't believe in all positive, then you must be abusive. If people saw me train a dog, they would say that is one of the gentlest, most calm. There's no treats involved. There's no yanking a dog around a room, and they turn around. This dog that I saw today that seen two trainers, couldn't control, stayed on a mat within an hour of me being there. Well, FedEx was at the door. I couldn't believe it personally. That was exceptionally odd. But all we did was just follow nature's template. Look, dog, I don't like that. I do like this. It's predominantly tone and body language. That's the way we communicate with each other.
No whips, no chains, no...
No, but once in a while, hey, go and plug your Xbox. That's the end of that. You were told. That happens with kids. With dogs, hey, look, that was wrong. Look at me. I don't like that. Oh, okay. And you know what? The odd thing is, you look at a spouse or a child, there's no one in the world more motivated than a dog to please you. Anybody who thinks that treats need to be done, they're aiming at the wrong part of the dog. They're aiming at their tummy. Aim at the relationship. Dogs are bred to love you. All you got to do is tap into the respect, and you don't need all these treats or this yanking around stuff that we see in so many classes.
Now, this text is going to scare you. Andy, this guy needs to run for mayor.
Well, I look at the time. I got to go.
John Wade. John, a real pleasure. Thank you for coming in. That was a real education. It was doggone good, I'll tell you. By the way, if people want to reach you and find out more, where can they do that?
My website's askthedogguy.com.
There we go. AskTheDogGuy.com. There we go. 529 coming up to a CTV News update right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK.